Well, hey, man, let's turn to the book of James tonight. James in chapter 1. You glad to be here tonight? Y'all tired? Been a long day? Yeah, it's okay. It's all right if it's been a long day. That's fair. You know, it's been a long day. We come in the middle of the week to be encouraged in the Lord, pray one for another, and spend a little time together. So, let's see what the Lord has for us. James chapter 1, and verse 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I want to talk to you tonight and about this really strange idea. Really? I think this is one of the strangest concepts in all of the Bible. This thing that he says here, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What a blessing. Let's pray. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this message tonight. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to gather together. Lord, thankful for your word. Lord, for your instruction and your exhortation. Lord, thank you for your comfort that we might realize what you're doing and in and through our lives. And even as these challenges and these trials and tribulations come our way, Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us, encourage us through your word, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, it's kind of a really strange concept, taking joy. It's maybe that one might find joy in trials. It doesn't really seem to make sense when we think about, of course, we've been around a while. We understand this concept a little bit, but you know, there are a lot of things that I might imagine would bring joy to my life. You know, like maybe a good cup of coffee in the morning that's ready when I come in. No, I'm kidding. So, a good cup of coffee, you come in, that could bring you like, oh, that's, you know, you see, when Pastor Nathan comes in the morning, I've already learned that he needs to get there first, especially if he didn't get coffee at home. And then once he gets it, it's, now we can, you know what I mean? Some of y'all are like that, you know what I'm saying? Some of y'all, yeah, I know. And you know what else would bring joy in my life? A piece of chocolate cake. Piece of chocolate cake, that brings joy to my life. The Dallas Cowboys winning, which didn't happen this past Sunday. But that would bring some joy. How about a visitor that I invited coming to church, right? That would bring joy to me. I can remember the first visitor that ever came to church that I invited, cold calling, knocking their door. And I knocked the door and they said they would come and then they came. The elation. I'm telling you, I was so excited. I was like a little kid, you know. I'm telling you, stuff like that brings joy when somebody you invite comes to church and that thing. But then, you know, maybe a sinner repenting and trusting Christ, you know, that brings joy. A new believer following the Lord in baptism and, you know what I'm saying, just following. And man, I'd say those things, a lot of those things, you know, I mean, cake is up there, but I'm saying somebody making a decision for the Lord is just exciting. Matter of fact, you can see why Jesus said when the disciples came to him and he said, to give him some food. He said, I got meat to eat that you know not of. Like, who brought him food? What's going on? He said, no, you know, there was something exciting, a spiritual thing that just brought joy and filled him up and so forth. But can I tell you, nowhere in my list of things that would bring me joy, and if I could go on and on about some other things, would I find place to put various trying events and situations that are going to be difficult? You know what I'm saying? It's just not something, You know, I can't wait till life gets really hard. I love being broke and have bills coming in. It just brings joy. Nobody put that on their list. You know what? I can't wait till I fall, skin my knee, and its blood is dripping down. That is so exciting. Nobody says that. You know what I'm saying? It's just... But this is a theme that's throughout the New Testament. Look with me if you would. If you want to use this, if you got a string or a bookmark or something, keep your place and we're going to get back there. But I want us to flip through. I want us to see this theme throughout the New Testament. Go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 5. We're going to find this here. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. And he says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Blessed." And then go over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil." is this just funny to me? Y'all, I mean, let me read that again. I don't think y'all caught that. He said, "Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from you from their company and shall reproach you." What a blessing. And cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. It's, you know what I'm saying? This is weird, isn't it? What a blessing when people hate you. I wish somebody would come up and just say, "I hate you." No, don't do that. I'm kidding. Do not do that. You know what I'm saying? Who says that? I love it when somebody comes up, "I hate you, you stupid Christian." Like, just so full of joy right now. You know, it's just a weird... Look, okay, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 5. The Bible is fun. I mean, it's just... I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm strange. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. It says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're getting back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 17. He says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." And then last one, Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 24, he says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." You know, this isn't just James here kind of bringing out this idea. We find this, Jesus spoke about it. They continued this thought because they found it to be the case that there was joy coming. And I mean, some of it seems, you know, taking the Bible out of context is weird. You know what I mean? When you take, you know, I like to refer to it as cut and paste Christianity. You know, like we just kind of cut a piece out and try to just go with that. Sometimes it gets really weird and you think, this is kind of insane, really. Who would really, and if somebody just came upon one, I've always thought about if you could only put one verse on a billboard, what would it be? Wouldn't be that one back there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you people are nuts. You know what I'm saying? So there's something going on here. But listen, the joy isn't really because of the temptations, but what the temptations bring. We're back in James now. James chapter 1, look at verse 3. He said, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So I want to talk about the patience building trials. So there's an old saying that goes something like this, you know, don't ask God to give you patience, right? You don't go say, God, I just need some more patience. If somebody says that, back away from a little bit. You know what I mean? It's kind of thing. It's like you're asking God. Listen, this is where we find the joy of trials. It has a dividend. Okay? That's the joy, is that there's a dividend, that the trying of our faith through the temptations produce something in us. There's a product. It's not just pain and suffering. It's not difficulty. It's not just difficulties for the sake of it. Listen, if you go through something like that and you get nothing from it, that would be miserable. But when you know it's bringing something and you understand, he said, knowing this, that it produces something. You know, can I tell you, be honest with you tonight? I personally wish there were easier, less painful ways to get this characteristic of patience. I don't like trials. I don't like difficulty. I'm just, you understand? I mean, you probably do, but I don't. I wish there was an easier way to get this dividend of patience. You know, maybe like some Bible study. Could we just have a little Bible study? You know what I mean? Maybe a prayer. I'm going to pray for it. God, would you just give it to me without the troubles, trials? And can I just get that? Maybe just going to church. God, I was in church. Can I just, this well up in me? Right? Maybe, you know, wouldn't it be great? I always thought, wouldn't it be awesome if I could just sleep on my Bible like a pillow and it would just kind of get in? Skip the trials. You know, less painful ways. But none of those things are the way to bring patience. It's just not. Listen, God has seen fit to develop, or as it says here, to worketh patience in our life. God has seen fit to worketh the patience in our life through this trying of our faith. That's how God does it. And so God says, if you're going to have patience, you're going to only get that patience through trials, through tribulations, through challenges in our life. So it begs the question then, really, to me, it begs the question to me is who needs patience anyway? You know what I mean? Do I really need that? I mean, is this something, it's so challenging to acquire. Do I really want it? Do I really want this thing? Rather, maybe the question is, do I really need patience? Could I, you know, I want to just skip the trials. I want to skip the trials. I want to skip the patience. And I want to go on for Jesus without it. Y'all with me? I mean, it sounds like a good idea. I want to skip the trouble. I could do it. I mean, patience is good, but I don't, you know, I'll go on without that, but have everything kind of smooth and easy. Maybe just skip this one little, I mean, I got some other things, you know, characters and characteristics, and maybe move forward with my Christian life without it. Y'all know I'm setting you up, so nobody's answering, all right? We've gone down this road before, huh? You know, I've thought about this. Other people have patience. Do we all need it? We're supposed to be diverse, right? Different parts of the body. Some are patient. Some are not. Right? So, again, this is why we really need to go beyond the cut and paste Christianity. We got to really see what's... We have to do more than just pull one verse out and look at that thing. And listen, notice the real value of patience here. I want you to notice the value of patience. Look at verse 4. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the third thing is here, this is the perfecting patience. the perfecting patience. So patience isn't just some additional characteristic that rounds us off. You know what I mean? You know what we say about some people? They're just kind of a little rough around the edges. You always say that? Right? Y'all heard that? Y'all with me? I mean, people probably say that about me. You know, and we say, you know, they're just a little rough around the edges, maybe a little coarse here, and they just need to be kind of smooth the edges. And listen, can I just say that patience isn't just some kind of characteristic in your life that helps you just smooth out the edges. It's just so much more than that. It doesn't just round out your personality. Oh, they're a really nice person. Listen, it isn't just the ability to endure annoying people or the long line at Walmart. You know, or the, you know, I don't want to get into that. Or the kids that won't quit. Tugging, mommy, 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 mommy. I'm a mommy. You know what I'm saying? You know, listen, that's not really what, listen, some folks will say, like, my grandma, she's so patient. No, she's tired. She turned her hearing aid off and she can't hear you. All right? That's not the same thing as patience, okay? That's not, somebody can just endure stuff. You ever done that with somebody? You're like, man, they're so patient, and they're going on, and then what you'll say, and they're like, what? Oh, and they pull their earbud out. And they weren't, you know, you're like, oh, okay, that's different. Listen, patience as found here is a steadfast consistency. It's really this, it's to not be swerved from our purpose. It's not to let these trials push us off course, right? You understand? Patience is not toleration. Don't mix that up. Really, please tonight, don't mix that up. Patience is not tolerant. I could tolerate them, but there's a point I run out of patience. No, that is the misuse of the word. Okay, you understand? That's a different deal altogether, and that's not what we're finding here in the book of James. So it's really this: it's to not be swerved from our purpose, even when there are trials, challenges and difficulties that are trying to dissuade us. How many people, when the trials come, quit? Surrender. I don't mean surrender to him. I mean surrender to the problem. How many do we get in that situation and it comes and it? I mean, listen, we've all been there. We've all been there. It's just too much, and we give. It's tough, and we don't want to, and we get the wrong thinking. Listen. This is the characteristic that God uses to perfect us. That's what he said there. This is the characteristic. Let's read that again. Verse 4. He said, but let patience have her perfect work. Well, what's her perfect work? That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, can I say this to you tonight? This is where the maturing process comes from. You ever seen a Christian somebody that's been in church like their whole life, but they're still spiritually immature? You know what I mean? And maybe you're like, yeah, I see that guy in the mirror every morning. You know what I'm saying? We can be there and listen, just being in our place, listen, just coming to church doesn't get that on us. It takes a little bit more than that. It takes some things that God is going to now say, we're going to have to take you through something to try it or to perfect it or to sometimes it's to just reveal to us if we're really trusting God. Isn't it embarrassing sometimes when you get in those situations how we fail? And you're like, man, I can't believe I did that. You know, God wasn't trying to shame us. He's trying to show us. He's trying to show us something. You know, we don't grow closer to someone by standing at a distance and reading about their accomplishments and sorrows. We don't really grow closer, but by being there with them and going through it together. I'm telling you, there's something about this when you hear about something, you read a book, read something, that's terrible. I feel bad for you over there. But when we come up alongside them, right? And we kind of experience that thing with the sun. There becomes a growing process. An athlete doesn't grow in his ability to perform by lifting 5-pound dumbbells. You know, wow, this is hard. Not really. You know what I mean? You know, you ever gone to the gym? I went one time. And and you know, you start, you know, so guys, I don't know the way ladies do, but guys will walk in, they're like, yeah. You know, you want to go in, you want to pick up a big one because you don't want to pick up the little. When I was in physical therapy, they gave me this little 1-pound pink weight to do. I'm like, seriously? Are you serious right now? I mean, is there anybody look? Anyway, so you go in there, you're like, I'm going to go pick up this bigger one because you see the other guys. So you pick this thing up, you're like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to go a little bit down. You know what I mean? You go down and you're like, okay, I can get this one. And you know, listen, you don't grow in that thing by lifting the small ones. You got to be challenged a little bit. The athlete has to break down that muscle so that it might be built, stronger. You know what they do when they realize that? Those athletes, some of those athletes are kind of freaks. They just do stuff. And you know what they realize? I'm not going to die from this. And I'm going to trust this thing, and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to push through it because I know this isn't going to be the end. You know, no believer will mature without the trying of their faith. I mean, there's a level you'll get to, sure. Well, we can get to a level, but there becomes this ceiling, if I would say, that takes a little trying for us to get beyond that. We say this thing, you know, a faith that can't be tested, can't be trusted. I don't know about all that, but it kind of fits this concept here. But God wants to take us to a place, and he wants to try us, and this is the perfecting work of this thing. The immature believer has the characteristic of impatience. They will not want to wait on the Lord. I'm talking about the immature believer. You know, how old is that? Well, how long is somebody saved before they're not immature anymore? Well, it doesn't really go by time, does it? It doesn't go by time or by age. It goes by this thing that James is talking about here, that God gave us here. It goes by this thing of this patience, these trials that God's building on, and then he begins to develop something in our life. And the impatient, the immature believer is impatient, and they will not want to wait on the Lord. You ever feel kind of like when you hear something like that, you're like, oh me, I hate waiting on the Lord. You know what I mean? I want God, can you? Yeah, the fellow said, can you give me patience, Lord, and can you give it to me right now? You know what I mean? I want this. Can I have long suffering like yesterday? You know what I mean? This kind of stuff. We want this. But the immature, impatient believer will not want to accept anything but their own way. Isn't it weird how we come to God and ask for his direction, but then not really want it? I mean, just think about this with me for a moment. Sometimes we already got in our mind what we want to do, and then we want to ask God, God, would you do what I want to do? Would you make what I want to do be what happens? And God says, you know, God directs us or closes some doors and whatever happens, and we're like, we don't get to go that way. We don't get to do that thing. And now we're like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I've heard people say this. I can't tell you how many I've heard say this. They'll come up and say, I know God doesn't really want me to do this, but I'm going to. Thinking, well, then I can't help you. So God doesn't want you to do it, but you want me to help you do it. You got the wrong fella for that. I'm not touching that. You already know God wants you to do something else and you ain't doing it. There ain't no counsel left to fix that. You can't fix. I'm not saying. Okay. So the immature, impatient believer will not endure. They will stray from their purpose and loyalty to Christ and his word when the battle comes and the challenges ensue, and when his way isn't chosen, he will not endure. But the mature believer will embody patience. It's, listen, when you say, well, I'm just not very patient as an excuse for bad behavior, you know what I'm saying? This thing happens and you kind of just spout out, or you just kind of say something, snap, and you know what I mean? I mean, we've seen people do it. You know what I'm saying? other people, not us, but other people do that thing. You know, something will come and you'll just kind of snap and say, ah, I'm just not very patient. It's kind of our way of justifying bad behavior. Well, we all do that. I mean, just come on. You know what I'm saying? We do that. You know what you're really saying? I'm an immature believer. I haven't really. By the way, if you get that's what you're saying, that'd help you. It'd help us. It'd help us to realize, you know what, I just made a mistake there. I did something wrong there. I just revealed to myself and like everybody paying attention that there's an area in my life that needs to be worked on a little bit. Listen, ouch. I mean, I like to really make mistakes like that when very few people are around. You're like, who saw that? And you're like, I'm just kidding, sorry. You know, you just kind of back. But sometimes we do it in front of a whole lot of people or people we really love. And listen, just remember this, get a hold of it. Just saying, I'm not very patient is not a good excuse. It's actually very, very, listen, God's still working on me. God's still working on you. Listen, I'm not there yet, neither are you, but he's still working on me. But that working on me, right, is by trying my faith. Don't say God's working on me, but we don't want any trouble. Right? I mean, you could say you don't want trouble because I say that. I don't want any trouble. But when the trouble comes, we don't tell God, I don't want to do this. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to quit doing this thing. I'm going to quit following. I'm going to quit going to Sunday school. I'm going to quit following through. I'm going to quit doing all the things because until I can get sorted this through, you know, I've dealt with a lot of people in these times of trouble, and I often will say this kind of thing. You're going to get through it, right? It's going to pass. It came to pass, right? You're going to get through it. Now, when you're on the other side of it, which we all will be, even if the other side is heaven, right? When we get through it, are you going to stand over here and say, praise the Lord, I patiently endured what God was doing in my life? Or are you going to get over here and you're going to sit here and think, oh man, I sure wish I wouldn't. I got a group of folks I need to go say I'm sorry to. You know what I mean? And then you know what happens when we do that? We end up having to start over and do that whole thing again. Because you know what God's interested in? Maturing you. God's interested in maturing you and in maturing me. It's what he wants to do, that we'd become more and more like him, more like Christ. So maybe, you know, what if you're kind of like me at times and you'll say, I'm not too good at this. How am I going to be able to follow in that time? How am I going to be able to trust? How am I going to be able to wait on the Lord? Because I'm not good at that, right? You know, it's okay to say I'm not good at that and I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. It's difficult, right? Is the Christian life, I've heard some people say, the Christian life isn't difficult, it's just easy. Well, I don't know what that means, but we find constantly this thing of tribulations and challenges, and there's some challenges that are going to come, and you say, well I don't know how I'm going to do this, it's difficult, it's a challenge, what am I going to do? Well, look here, the Lord has an answer for that in verse 5 here. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I'm telling you, folks, this is, number 4, is the source of wisdom. The source of wisdom. This life in Christ is not developed through self-improvement. I want y'all to get that. I mean, I know we understand that, but I want us to just, it's not through self-improvement. I'm just going to be better. Like, can I tell you, there's not enough leaves in this world to turn over a new one for us to really be what God wants us to be. It's not self-improvement. Listen, this isn't a process of just getting better and better. It's a process of letting go. And by that, I mean letting go of this world's wisdom. Letting go of trying to think through, how am I going to tackle this issue? True wisdom only comes from God. We understand that? True wisdom only comes from God. Doesn't go come from God and here or here. True wisdom isn't logic. Sometimes it is logical, but sometimes it's not. True wisdom isn't feelings. Well, I feel like this or I don't feel like this. Man, can you imagine letting your heart decide be your, remember those things they'd have with the sticks and it would find water? People say it worked. I don't know. Anyway, so they would kind of, you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all use those back in your day. No, I'm kidding. So I imagine letting this heart be the one that it's our truth finder. Right? Oh, I feel like this is right. I just feel it. Right? I feel this is right. Isn't that a kind of a strange thing? I mean, the Bible does say the heart is so wise, right? No, it doesn't. Actually, it says a little bit different than that, doesn't it? It's deceptive. It's wicked. So listen, the only true wisdom comes from God. And the good news is this, he wants to give it to you. And this is the only place in the world we want liberality, right? We don't want to be liberal anywhere else. Three of you got that. Okay. That's okay. It is Wednesday night. He wants you to have that wisdom. Not only does he want to give it to us, he wants to give it to us in this liberal way. He wants to give us abundantly. That's how God wants to give us wisdom. And as these temptations, the trying of your faith come, it can be challenging. It can be difficult. And it can be confusing. Why is God doing this to me, right? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And why is God allowing this to happen to my family? Why is God, what is God doing? What is this thing all about? I mean, listen, I've gone through some things and I'm just like, God, why would you let me? And I'm thinking, God, what are you trying to do? Can I tell you, sometimes I get to the end and I still don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. It's not always something we get to see right away what God's doing. It's not always evident to us. But it can be confusing. The answer is to seek God for the answer. That's what we do. We trust him with what he's doing in your life. You know, we should see and know that he is allowing this for our perfecting. I'm telling you, folks, when we get to the way to develop this thing or to let God develop this thing in your life is when something comes into our life that's a challenge, it's a difficulty, it's a trial, what we do is say, God, I'm going to let you do something in my life. I'm seeing, God, that you're doing something. Right? I mean, listen, if you're just thinking what's going on the surface, it's going to be just, I'm just going to plug away, get through this, and we'll figure it out later. But if you'll look to God and say, God, this is the joy. That's the joy in it, that God's doing something in your life, and it comes through, and we come through the other side. And listen, allow him to perfect you. And maybe you're thinking tonight, I don't need to be perfect. Well, that's good because you ain't perfect, right? Neither am I. I mean, he's working to get you closer to perfect. Some of y'all need to get a lot closer to perfect. You know what I mean? It's a hard crowd tonight. Okay. I give you all my best ones. And y'all just, okay, it's late. Maturing in Christ is a wonderful thing, and it's far beyond what you or I can imagine. So ask God for this wisdom, but notice what he says here in verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, number 5 is unwavering faith. Listen, faith here is about trusting God's will. It's about trusting what God's doing. His will is so far, it's so high, it's so above my understanding that it can seem unlikely, even improbable. I'm telling you, it's so far up there. Trusting God really isn't about understanding God at all. Well, I know what God's going to do. Man, I hardly know what God's going to do. You understand? I mean, think of it. I got to figure out what God's doing before I'll do it. Well, you ain't never going to move. Neither would I. What's God doing? Listen, if I could figure God out, we need a better God. But there's only one, so we don't get another one. I'm just saying, He is so much higher. Pastor Meyer dealt with that a few weeks ago. I mean, God is so much higher than us, and that was the greatest illustration, stacking up, and that's what we think we get. I can figure God out. You can't figure God out. Man, that's not what the trusting Him is about. What is He doing? Listen, we're to understand His word. We could do that. But we do not always understand what He's doing. God's will can be known through His word, but how He comes about that in my life is not always clear to me. What God's doing. That's why we have to ask for His wisdom and faith, accepting His answer. When we come to Him wavering, as it says here, it really means I'm going to try His answer. You see, like this, I'm going to determine if I will accept God's direction after I seek His wisdom. See, this is what that wavering means. It's saying, you know, I'm going to see what God says, and then I'm going to decide if I'm going to trust it. Instead of just deciding I'm going to trust God, and what He leads, that's what I'm going to follow in that direction. You know, when I come to God like that, I end up being like a wave in the ocean. I'm tossed around by whatever wind is blowing. Go to and fro. What a mess. We end up swinging back and forth, trying to decide if I will continue for the Lord. Imagine God bringing something in our life to mature us, and I reject it. You know, when we come to God like that, we'll get nothing. Look here, verse 7. He says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." And of course, we're talking about this thing of wisdom. When we come to God, say, "Well, I'll see what you say, God, and I'll see if I like your option or if I'm going to choose another one." He said, "Anybody, when we come to God like that, don't. God isn't interested in being one of our options. He isn't interested to be just of a handful of choices. Let me see, am I going to do your way, my friend's way, the world's way? Well, let's see what God has to say. Let's go ahead and look at the Bible. Preacher, what do you think God would want me to do on this?" It's just like another option. God said, if you come like that, don't expect to receive any wisdom. He wants to give it to you liberally. But He said, if we come like this, He said, don't expect to receive anything from God. He is not going to give us any direction when we come like that. It's not God. God isn't going to be. God is a jealous God. God isn't interested in being one of the group. So here's our conclusion tonight. This is a passage that started in joy, but can end in emptiness. You ever seen people go through stuff that's really tough? I'm talking about believers go through some really tough challenges, trials. And on the other end, they come out really kind of more beat up than when they went in. That's what we're seeing here. There was no really trust in the Lord. It was coming. And then you'll see folks that go through challenges and they come out on the other side shining. Some of those people that you see may be you. We come through those in different ways, depending on not God is ready to give us. But there's a condition here. So God wants to do something in our lives that will cause us to be less like us and to be more like Him. But it's going to hurt a little bit. It's going to hurt a little bit. You know, sometimes hurting a little bit is me not getting my way. You know, you ever been in a place and like they had this dinner and there was chocolate cake, you know? And then you went to go get some, and it was gone. And you seen somebody run over there and grab it right in front of you. That'll ruin your day. You know what I'm saying? Because you wanted that, you already started thinking about the cake. And you're like, I'm gonna wait because I want to enjoy this meal, but I'm thinking about that cake. And then you go up there and the cake's gone, and then you're mad because you didn't get your way. You ever been? Is it just me? Man. I'm telling you, but sometimes stuff is a lot more painful than not getting cake, isn't it? It can hurt a little bit. Somebody doesn't agree with you. You were sure they would agree with you. Don't you think so, brother? He's like, no, I don't. What? I thought you would be on my side even if I'm wrong. Right? And it hurts. Sometimes it hurts a little bit when we go through those trials and things don't go our way. But listen, folks, it's the only way we're going to get this incredibly needful patience is by going through that. In the midst of this trial, when we don't understand, God says, come ask me, come seek me. When we'll trust his will, it's wonderful. I'm telling you, folks, it's wonderful. Through Jesus said it, Paul said it, we find Peter talking about it, we find James here. It's constantly through the Bible, this thing that says, I don't know. When I'm abused, I just take joy in that thing. You know, when it's just not, you know, when things are against me, there's some reason, there's just this joy of like, wow, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Can I tell you, folks, it's not like a financial joy. Maybe not a relationship joy. You know, when your friends say, hey, you know, they part from your company. Like, they leave you alone. Nobody wants to hang out. You know, when I got saved, I kept all of my old friends, right? No. Some reason they didn't want to. I mean, I didn't really change that much. Yeah, right. You know? And, you know, listen, when we understand what God's doing, we see this, we trust God, we come through this thing, and we can have joy, not after, but in the tribulation. That's what God wants us. He said, listen, when we'll do that, it's wonderful. I'm telling you, when we'll trust him, what he's doing with us, it's a wonderful thing. But when we don't, our life becomes a mess. Trust me, I've been on both sides of that thing. You know what I mean? I've came into it both ways, struggling to trust him, and other times saying, God, I know you're doing something. I don't know what, but would you get her done? You know what I mean? And you're saying, God, would you help me in this thing? And praying, and I'm telling you, nothing will get you praying like a trial in your life. Man, or somebody in your family. Somebody that you love, something starts happening to them. I'm telling you, prayer gets kicked up a notch. The flames just turn up and you're just begging God. And then you're in the middle of that. You say, God, I don't know. I wish I was like this with you all the time. God said, I can fix that for you. Right? Man, it's wonderful though. God wants to work a work in your life that will be wonderful in your life. You'll love it. And that's what Paul understood. It's what James understood. It's what Jesus talked about. Brought him joy. Listen, joy isn't the trial. It's what God's doing in that. So what about you tonight? We're going to close here. I want you to just think about this. Has God put something? Are you going through something right now? Are you in the midst of that right now? And maybe right now you're in something and you've already decided what the outcome is going to be, how to get out of this thing or get in it, get out of it. Why don't we just turn and say, God, what are you going to do with me in this thing? I'm going to trust you for it.